There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 106 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad y'all are along. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Interesting, got a couple audio cuts here as we kind of listen to what's going on around the country as the president is in McAllen, Texas. All right, he's in McAllen, Texas, which is right across the border from Reynosa, Mexico. There, a definite border town. And one of those places that is a port of entry. You hear the port of entry discussion, right? So this is not like out in the middle of the wildlands, right? This is not somewhere along just a cattle ranch along the Mexico Texas border, or along the Arizona-Mexico border, or the New Mexico-Mexico border. This is McAllen, Texas, big area. A lot of American companies with factories just across the border in Reynosa. A lot of folks that work on the American side, they'll live in McAllen, Texas, drive across to Mexico every day. A lot of people from Mexico coming in to the United States down there. So it's one of those ports of entry where you have people trying to slip through, but it's a little different. They're not coming in, you know, jumping the fences and all that, but a hotspot for border security. And the president greeted by folks that said, you know, finish the wall. It's funny, I heard people saying finish the wall, and also four more years. Here's a little bit from just about 30 minutes ago. All right, so that's going on in McAllen. And then at the same time, you have this protest going on in Washington. You have hundreds of furloughed federal employees gathered outside in Washington for their union-led march on the White House, where the president is not. It's interesting. I mean, you think they could have coordinated, because I think President Trump did say he was going to Texas. I think they said that earlier in the week, maybe like Monday. But they organized this AFL-CIO protest outside the White House, even though the president's not there. Richard Trumka, that Trumka, AFL-CIO president, speaking here.
Hard-working American patriots are being locked out of their job for no reason other than the politics of fear. Shame on the Senate. Shame on the White House. This lockout has to end, and it has to end now.
We want to work.
That's like one of the most not heard songs. I can't get my kids to start singing that song. So there it is. Some of the protests going on in Washington. I will take the bait on this one. Usually I say, you know, stay on target. Don't get distracted, which most of the discussion in talk radio gets off on the wings versus staying on target. But I will get off on this wing just for a second. When you had the Schumer shutdown, the last shutdown before this one, now, was it as long? No, it was not as long. Because, by the way, come Saturday, this will be the longest partial government shutdown in history. So Trump will have a record. But was there any kind of AFL-CIO protest when it was Democrats bringing the shutdown? Was it? Could somebody go back and check if there's protests? Is it the government shutdown, or is it who is in the White House? Is it who is in the White House when the shutdown happens? I mean, either way, if you're a federal worker and you don't get your paycheck, should it matter who's in the White House? But you don't get your paycheck. Or is it all about the reason you believe you're not getting your paycheck? I mean, I think that's interesting. I'd love to hear from you at 343-0106. Also, if you think... Now, I think there's a fair argument to be had. Doesn't mean I agree with it, but a fair argument to be had by somebody who does not believe in having a secure southern border. I think we can sit here and have a fair argument. What I don't think is fair is when people say, and I'll give Brendan his kudos there too as he brings it back up, when they say the wall is not an effective way to slow. Now, I think the people come out and say, it's 100%, it'll keep everybody out. You're fools. You're fools. There's nothing's 100%. But it will slow illegal immigration in this country for sure. And I think by a large amount, but it's not 100%. But if you argue that that walls don't work, or you argue, like Democrats are, that we can't afford it. Now, come on, Republicans and Democrats in Washington, when have you heard them truly believe that we couldn't afford something and not spend the money? I wish that was the thing, but it's not. So if you want to argue that you just don't like the idea of stemming the flow of people coming into the country, right, that you want to have an open border, then I think we can have a fair academic argument about that. And it would be fine, and I wish much respect to you to do it. If you're arguing that the reason there shouldn't be funding for the wall is not because the Democrats are trying to prevent President Trump from having a victory or any sort of signature victory, it's because walls don't work. It's because you can't spend the $5 billion in Washington. You're not having a truthful argument. The same way to say on the other side, and we just talked about it last hour, to say the wall on the southern border is about keeping legions of terrorists out of the country. And before you send me the email, I know there all the stories, and I'm not saying there wouldn't be one coming across right now. But the main purpose of building on the wall of the southern border is an economic decision for the country. It's national security in the fact that it may bleed the coffers dry, but I don't think national security in the fact that you have waves of terror. You have tons of people getting in. They are coming in for the reasons of the economy. And that will continue as long as there's if you do not have a secure barrier and you have a better standard of living on one side of a arbitrary man-made line. Right, you know, one of those things where you're looking at an online Google Earth or something, and you take out the lines for nations and just look at the land masses it is, because those lines are in there. And I believe in having a definition of a nation. I do. I'm not. I'm just saying it is an arbitrary man-made line. So north of that arbitrary man-made line, standard of living is better than it is south of that line or whatever side. Well, people will continue to move to the better place if they can. It's just the human condition. So if you feel like that's fine and you would like that free migration of people over that line, that we can have a fair argument. If you're saying the reason to oppose the wall is that walls don't work and that Washington can't afford the $5 billion, I don't buy it. Coming back, we'll talk to you. Also, replay of the interview from this morning. AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne tried to make a move here on a bill in Washington to make sure Coast Guard, through the shutdown, gets paid. We'll get that interview coming up in just a second. Phone number, text line 343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, let's go live. We got the feed here from McAllen, Texas, as President Trump is talking about border security, and he's at a Border Patrol station there in McAllen.
We're telling John that Ted and I were in the campaign. We liked each other so much, and I said, look, at some time that'll end. Right, Ted? But we actually would do joint appearances together, and the press would say, when's it gonna end? I said, it'll happen. Ted would say too, it'll happen. We didn't know it would be quite that violent, but then the friendship is at least equal to what it was. And I just want to congratulate you, because I was here, we had that arena with about 22,000. That was the Houston arena. That was an incredible night, right? And we had, I think, 109,000 or 106,000 people wanting to come. They had thousands outside. And that was a few weeks before the election. I said, I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win nicely. And I want to just congratulate you. That was not easy.
Thank you.
And now he lost and he wants to run for president. And I said, I thought you had a win to run for president, right? But you did a great job, Ted. We appreciate it. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who's led some incredible cases. Ken, thank you very much. And Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who's been, again, a friend of mine for a long time. I also want to thank the governor. He's going on Fox tonight. And he sends his regards, and we're going to either see him later. He's coming into Washington. But the governor, who just had a great campaign also, he's been fantastic and a big believer in what we're doing. So say hello to him, and I'll speak to him later. Thanks also to Brandon Judd and the National Border Patrol Council. So Brandon, I've known him from the beginning. And almost before I announced, he was for my ideas, and he was for us. He was for me. And I appreciate it. I appreciated all your guys coming up last week. They had a big impact. We said to them, what do you want? Who knows better than them? He knows better than all of us put together. And that group was fantastic that we had in Washington just a few days ago. And they went on television, and anybody that listened wouldn't even have a doubt about it. So, Brandon, thank everybody. We appreciate it very much. Done a fantastic job. The Border Patrol's Rio Grande Valley sector. Who is from the sector? Do you have any specific guys here from and ladies? Quite a few. Now, are you tougher than the rest? Are you just tougher than the rest? I don't know. Maybe. But I heard special. I heard special. Oh, there they are. How are you? Come on over here. Come here, man. Come here. That's fantastic, and I've heard so much about all of you, and we're going to spend a little time in a little while together. I don't know if we're walking or flying, but either one is okay with me. We're going to see a lot. But thank you for being here. In a few moments, the American people will hear directly from our frontline border agents about the tremendous flood of illegal immigration, drug trafficking, human trafficking, a phenomena that has been going on for 1,000 years or more. And that you think was something that modern society wouldn't have. And hate to tell you that because of the internet, it's worse than ever before. Human trafficking, it's a horrible thing. And much of it comes, it's a world problem, not a U.S. problem only. And they come across the border, and it's a bad thing. And they drive. They just go where there's no security, where you don't even know the difference between Mexico and the United States. There's no line of demarcation. They just go out, and where there's no fencing or walls of any kind, they just make a left into the United States, and they come in, and they have women tied up. They have tape over their mouths, electrical tape, usually blue tape, as they call it. It's powerful stuff, not good. And they have three, four, five of them in vans, or three of them in back seats of cars, and they just drive right in. They don't go through your points of entry. They go right through. And if we had a barrier of any kind, a powerful barrier, whether it's steel or concrete, if we had a barrier, they wouldn't be able to make that turn. And they wouldn't even bother trying, because they can't go through the points with people. So we would stop that cold. We would stop it cold. And they can't fly in, obviously, for obvious reasons. So we'd stop human trafficking, and this section of the world, I think, would stop at 90-95%, a tremendous percentage would stop.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 129 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Have those numbers moved some? You see that? As the I was talking to you too, but I was talking to Dalton specifically on the online opinion poll question, because quite often when we get a big volume of votes like we have in this, it takes a good bit of voting to move percentages big amounts. They move by 1 or 2% once, like the first hour or so of the poll, the numbers jump around because it's a brand new poll, but when a mature a mature poll like this one, usually the ratios move more slowly. We asked the question, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, when do you think the government shutdown will end? You heard Brendan saying essentially he thought it was going to be earlier than later. Y'all say 50% now. 50% of y'all think by the end of this month, by the end of January, the partial government shutdown will be over. Now, the more interesting question is, how do we arrive at that, right? 32% of y'all think it goes on between 1 and 3 months, 3 to 6 months for 12% of y'all. And there is still that solid 6% says the government will never reopen. So there's y'all. Things are looking up for y'all, right? Government never reopens. All right, we'll run the news break here. Come back, a conversation with Congressman Bradley Byrne from this morning. He has brought up a bill. He's pushing this bill to try to make up like a patch here during the partial government shutdown for employees of the Coast Guard, because they are not funded like the other branches of military, and they are at risk of not getting paychecks. Talk to him about that and a whole lot more when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Still pulling satsumas off trees here in almost mid-January. How about that? All right, 135, FM Talk, 106.5, Midday Mobile. Go to an interview from earlier this morning, about a little after 8 o'clock this morning. Congressman Bradley Byrne joined us to talk about a couple things, the partial government shutdown, and specifically a bill he's pushing to make sure the members of the Coast Guard get paychecks during this shutdown. This was from the 8 o'clock hour of Mobile Mornings. All right, 8:07, FM Talk, 106.5, and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. By the way, today, Thursday, is day 20 of the partial government shutdown. And as Kelly pointed out earlier in the week, will soon be the longest ever. The record stands at 21 days during the Clinton administration.
Correct.
So by Saturday, if this goes on, it will be the longest shutdown in record. We're talking about that throughout the morning and talking about it right now with AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne. And thanks for being on the show. Thanks for your time.
Good to be with you.
I want to talk about a couple things here in the overarching and then get down to what you're working on right now for Coast Guard members and making sure they get their pay. But do you have any sense that you can offer us back here at home that there's any meeting in the middle? Or I mean, after hearing the reaction from Vice President Pence and Speaker Pelosi and Schumer, it seemed like yesterday not much was done.
Yeah, I think we're going to get into new territory after tomorrow, because tomorrow these federal employees won't get paid. And I think that puts a lot of heat on Democrats, because Democrats disproportionately represent federal employees. And I'm already hearing from the freshman Democrats that they're feeling an enormous amount of heat. So that's going to put heat on their leadership. Here's what happened yesterday. They were in the Oval Office. Pelosi kept saying, we're not going to negotiate with you till you open the government. And so President Trump said, all right, Nancy, if I open the government for 30 days, will you negotiate with me on border security? She said no. Well, that's not a negotiation. That's a capitulation. The president said that we don't really have anything to talk about until you're ready to negotiate. Even if I take the, you know, open the government, until you're willing to negotiate, I don't know what there is for us to talk about. So he didn't storm out of the meeting. He tried to get her to negotiate. She wouldn't do it. There's nothing left for us to talk about. Now, that pressure is going to start building on their side, as I said. In the meantime, there is a group, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators that are over there trying to figure out how to make a little bit of a grander bargain so there's more in it for both sides. Maybe that attracts enough people from both sides to where we can get this thing off the dime. But, I've made it very clear, Sean. I mean, I think the president's in the right here. I know the national news media is never going to treat him fairly about this. I get that. And I think the man's doing the right thing, and I'm standing with him.
Yeah, you know, Congressman Byrne, it seems like you just laid out, there's not anything, there's not a percentage of negotiation. I mean, if you have, the Democrats, Pelosi and Schumer saying reopen the government, and the president saying, okay, if I reopen it for 30 days, will we negotiate this? And the answer is no.
then yeah, it's not a negotiation. I don't see where one side meets the other. It sounds like those two ends are as far apart as possible.
I've negotiated hundreds and hundreds of deals going back to my legal experience. I've never known a negotiation to work where one side says, I'm not going to give you anything, and the other side says, okay, I'm going to give up everything. I've never known that to work. And it doesn't work. I mean, that's just common sense. It doesn't work. So it's going to have to be pressure that builds up from down below Nancy Pelosi and her conference and down below Chuck Schumer and his conference for them to realize we're going to have to cut a deal here. We're not seeing any widespread defections among Republicans in the House or Republicans in the Senate. I'm beginning to hear real pressure and the possibility of defections on the Democratic side. So when it gets to that point, then that pushes Pelosi and pushes Schumer to actually get in the room and work this thing out with the president. This thing could be worked out in 45 minutes. It's not that difficult. What needs to be done, the president's put a very specific proposal out there in January the 6th. It takes into account a lot of Democratic requests. I mean, it's a very common sense, reasonable thing. I mean, it's just a matter of making sure that Pelosi and Schumer have got enough pressure from their own people that say, okay, we got to reach a deal here.
Congressman, you're pushing a bill right now to pay the Coast Guard through the end of the fiscal year. Can you, first of all, lay out the situation with the difference in how the Coast Guard's paid with other branches of the military?
Yeah, the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, they're all paid under the Department of Defense. Unfortunately, the Coast Guard is paid under the Department of Homeland Security. So we appropriated the money back in September for the Department of Defense. So everybody in the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, Marines, they're being paid. There's no problem at all. But because we didn't fund the Department of Homeland Security in September, Coast Guard's not funded today, which means they don't have money to make their paycheck. And their paycheck would be due on the 15th, not the 11th. So what my bill does, it says, okay, just for the employees, the personnel of the Coast Guard, we're going to provide enough money, we're going to authorize the payments of their paychecks and other benefits through the end of this fiscal year. Because they're out there performing services and duties that are very similar to the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines, and they shouldn't be treated any differently just because they fall under a different department of government.
You know, looking at some of the people on Twitter talking about this, Mike says, while I don't disagree with you that no one should work without pay, the main reason is that the Coast Guard is contractually obligated to work without pay under the UCMJ. They don't have the option of quitting or walking away. They risk brig time if they don't show up.
Yep, that's true. And for all practical purposes, they are a part of the United States military. They're just not funded under the Department of Defense. They're funded under the Department of Homeland Security, and they're caught in this sort of weird situation. And we ought to take acknowledgement of that and treat them the way they should be treated, which is the same way we treat the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines.
Speaking of this, Ben on Twitter asking, why the Coast Guard more worthy of pay than other government workers?
Well, because they're performing a function that's for the national defense. And I think anybody involved in national defense should be paid like other workers involved in national defense. Now, by the way, I can make very quickly the exact same argument for the CPB personnel and for these TSA personnel that are at our airports. And I think that there's some other congressmen working on pieces of legislation for those folks, and I would agree with that. If you're involved in national security, national defense, then we should be paying you for what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that as areas of government work that will resonate more quickly with non-government citizens, you know, that don't have a direct connection on a paycheck, I can imagine TSA, air traffic control, when those things, people aren't showing up to work and planes aren't flying, y'all are going to have phones ringing off the hook.
Well, remember, we fly. I flew up here the other day, went through TSA, talked to the TSA personnel. By the way, one of them told me, you tell President Trump that I stand with him even though I'm not being paid. So, I mean, yes, it's going to start impacting a lot more people than just members of Congress after tomorrow. And as it affects more people, those people will contact their congressman. Congressmen will start feeling pressure. That pressure moves up from the rank and file to leadership. And that's when you're going to start seeing more movement from Pelosi and Schumer. until then, they're sort of enjoying their time in the sun, although I got to tell you, their performance the other night in response to the president was terrible. I mean, they didn't look good, they didn't sound good, they didn't make any sense. So, I mean, if they're basking in glory, they're basking in the glory of their very far-left supporters, because I don't think they look very good right now.
One of the things that gets reported out there, and I think it's worth having you respond to, that even yesterday, Speaker Pelosi, she said, listen, we offered a bill to reopen government on day one of the Democrats taking control of the majority in the House. We've already done this. We've done this, and the Republicans are the reason it's not getting done.
No, the president's made it very clear. He wants to reopen the government, and he wants, in reopening the government, to have adequate border security out there, or the next big step in adequate border security. And every president has done this, Sean. This is not new. Every president in the last couple of three presidents have built border wall, have built fencing, have provided these other things for border security. It's just when Donald Trump is president, when the Democrats are saying, oh, no, now it's immoral. Well, it wasn't immoral when they voted for it and built these things in the past. It's just posturing on their part. And if the national news media was covering this accurately, it would be clear to everybody in America. But this is one of these very clear instances where the national news media is so very biased that they're not giving an objective presentation, not only of what's going on, but what it means in the context of how we've been handling this for the last 20 years.
Congressman Byrne, good morning. Kelly Finley here.
Kelly.
Hi. Question for you. So what do you think is going to take to get the government shut down over and us back to business?
Well, as I said before, pressure from the rank and file up to the leadership. But I think we may have to take this issue and look at something beyond just border security. We may need to look at some other parts of this immigration issue, which doesn't bother me at all. Now, I've been very clear, as you know, I've said this over and over again, I'm not forgiving anybody amnesty. So that's not what I'm saying here. What I am saying is that the Democrats come forward and they say, well, we need more humane treatment for children and families that come across the border. Okay, let's talk about how we do that in a way that's in keeping with American law. So there's things we could, I think, reach an agreement on if they want to start broadening the issues that we're dealing with here within immigration. But at the center of this has to be border security. And Republicans should not, nor should anybody in the public expect us to, give up on what we think is essential to providing for the security of the American people. And we had a police officer killed a couple of weeks ago by a deported and returning illegal immigrant. We have a young woman that was raped up in Shelby County by a deported and returning illegal immigrant. These are not abstract notions here. These are concrete instances where the security of the American people are threatened by our not having adequate control of our border. By the way, we know that there is an incredible amount of drugs pouring across that border. We know that there are criminal elements coming across that border, and we know that there are indeed incidences of where we have apprehended people who are terrorists or suspected terrorists at that border. And somebody says, well, it's not that many. Well, there are only 19 that committed 9/11, so it doesn't take that many for them to wreak havoc on the American people. So there's a lot at stake here, and we have an obligation in Congress to make sure we're doing what we're doing to provide for security. If we need to talk about these other issues to get to that, I'm happy to do it. I think the president's happy to do it. I'm just not going to agree to something that the president and the people around him who are charged with doing this on our behalf have told me, yes, that gets us more towards border security.
Now, this one, a tough question. I don't know if you could answer it for you, maybe not for all the other Republicans in the House, but Scott in Alberta asked, if y'all couldn't do it back when you had the majority, why do you think you can get this done now?
Well, remember, when we had the majority under the Senate rules, you still have to have 60 votes, and that does require Democratic help. So even though we could push a bill out of the House and did, as you know, before we left on Christmas break, I mean, even though we pushed it out, the Democrats in the Senate said we will not agree to it. And let me tell you what happened, because I was here. Thursday before Christmas, we pushed the bill out. Friday before Christmas, the Senate took up our bill. They worked on it that night with Vice President Pence. I spent the night here Friday night, expecting Saturday morning to get up, have a Rules Committee meeting so we could pick up something from the Senate. The Senate left. They just left. Chuck Schumer and them left. Nancy Pelosi left. They decided, we're not going to come back. We're going to go take our Christmas break. We had nobody to negotiate with. We had to negotiate with the Democrats in the Senate to get to that 60-vote threshold. And you and I have talked about this a number of times, Sean. That's a real problem, that we have that 60-vote threshold in the Senate. So that's where we are. That's where we continue to be. We've got to work out a deal with the Democrats. And only when the pressure grows on them will we be able to reach an agreement.
All right. Before we wrap up, I know we need to let you go. You're busy here. But remind folks, too, once again, this bill that you're pushing for, and this there's a lot of ears out here that that work with the Coast Guard, serve with the Coast Guard here. What is the bill, and what will this mean for them?
This bill would authorize and appropriate the money for all Coast Guard personnel to be paid in full through the end of this fiscal year, no matter what's going on with the government shutdown.
There we go. All right, Congressman, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us this morning, and we'll be watching what's going on in Washington and check back in soon.
Great to be with you.
All right. AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne. I'd like to hear from you.
All right, there was the conversation from this morning. If you hadn't heard it yet, there you go, for the first time. If you want to share that with somebody, that podcast is up on our podcast page, fmtalk1065.com. Grab a couple calls when we get back and some text as we wrap it up here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, 152 FM Talk 1065, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Gorgeous outside, too. Nice, nice stuff. Dr. Bill says, well, we got another day of that and then rain by the weekend, at least Saturday. Sunday looks to be the better of the 2 days. We'll get more from him coming up in our forecast. Right now, we'll go to the phones, 343-0106. And let's go to Brad in Daphne first. Hey, Brad.
Hey.
What's
up,
man?
I got an idea. If the president, you just hit on it a minute ago, if he shut all the commerce coming across the southern border down, our car manufacturers, Walmart, everything that comes across, billions of dollars a day, if he just closed the border for 3 or 4 days, they'd write him a check for the full wall.
Brad, I wish the money was the issue. In other words, I wish Democrats and Republicans were so concerned with how much money they spend that we don't have, right? Deficit, but they're not. So
right.
When the argument is it's about $5 billion, I'm not, listen, to me, that's like a crazy amount of money I can't even picture. But in Washington, it's like, it's $5 billion here, $5 billion there. So it's not about the money. It's not about the money. It's not about the money that they would spend. They're going to oppose President Trump on this because it's a signature issue for him. I mean, it's a trophy he can put on his wall, and they're not going to let him have it.
Well, sure, but if Walmart and GM and all of them, trust me, they'd be on them congressmen. Congress would say, you know what? Give him the trophy.
What Brad's saying is true. I mean, you get down at my experience really just specifically with where the president is, McAllen, Texas, and Reynosa, Mexico, across the border there. Maquiladora, right? They call it there, and so many factories right across the border. Of course, that's one of the things that happened with NAFTA. So, and Brad, I appreciate the call. Thank you. A lot of commerce coming across. A lot of commerce. Let's go to... No, I'm not going to get somebody... I do not have an update on the goats. That's WKRG's story. I will look into it more, ask Bill and Jessica and Katarina and all of them about the story from down in... Remember this morning we had the story from down in Theodore with the goats running amok? All I can say is this. They're saying the goats are getting out. I just remember my grandfather saying, if you want to build a fence that keeps a goat in, he said, build a fence that will keep a monkey in, boy, and then you can keep a goat in. Goat talk will be this tonight at 9 o'clock. Let's go to Rima in Mobile next. Is it Rima?
Hi there.
Hey.
Hi there, Sean. My husband and I are both veterans, and we're in our middle 70s.
Well, thank you for your service.
We're both in our middle 70s. I support this president, what he's trying to do, because I've seen what he does out there in that area. And, you know, I can't understand why these people are not doing it for their country rather than not doing it for their party. That's what drives me crazy. They're supposed to be elected by us, do what we want. And most of the people want this.
Well, the problem is, though, I would say this, that a lot of people want this, but even the polling now, the Quinnipiac poll that comes out, one of the op-ed that came out the other day that Brendan Kirby was talking about, that he was retorting to, said that the majority of the American people don't want this, and that's still true in the Quinnipiac poll. I think 46% want a wall or a barrier of some sort on the southern border. What they didn't report of that is that number has increased by like 3 or 4 fold. More Americans than ever do want some kind of barrier on the border. Now, it's still not the majority, at least according to that one poll, but those numbers have increased a lot lately, and you wonder if they will continue to rise.
Well, what I also wonder is who these people are polling. Are they polling in a Democratic suburb? Are they polling just nationwide?
Right. Well, listen, and you know, I appreciate the call. I think I have a little bit of infamy or fame for questioning polling out there and saying, hey, y'all, there's polls, but make sure you look at the methodology, look at the sample, all those things. And sometimes, I mean, that's not even from any kind of political perspective. It's just trying to get honesty out of things. So make sure you look at how the poll's done. But Quinnipiac, they're not a fly-by-night operation. Doesn't mean they're right, but they're not fly-by-night. They've been doing it a long time. I do think the side story to that is interesting is the increase in the number of people that support some sort of barrier on the border. Still not the majority, though, according to that poll. Yeah, you could probably find a poll out there that shows it, but it looks like, I'll say this, within the Republican ranks, and side note, if President Trump did something here, like didn't support his border wall barrier, whatever, promise, do you think that all of a sudden there would be Democrats that would be on his side? That would support him on an infrastructure issue or support him on something else? No. So if you want to go just to the pure political world, which is, I hate it, but that's kind of where we are, to what benefit? To what end? To what end would that do for Donald Trump? You'd say, well, he's going to be above that. He's going to he's going to do what's right for the country. Well, you know, maybe in his opinion of opinions, deep in his mind, he believes that's exactly what he should do for the country. All right, take one more here before we wrap up. We got about a minute and a half left, so it's going to be fast. Anthony in Pritchard. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing today, Sean?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. My question is, why does it take pressure from the rank and file for the leadership to do the right thing?
I think about 10 more days. That's if you want to put me... I think about 10 more days that burner gets hot enough on the stove.
Okay.
Now, that's just my guess. I think that's coming. I think it's going to be when you have enough Republicans in districts and Democrats in districts where people say, I don't care what your problem is, get me my darn paycheck.
Okay.
That's my best bet. What do you think? How long do you think it takes?
Well, I think it should take less than that because it's affecting a lot of people without getting no money, and they're gonna start moving around. After a while, you go to affecting people's families.
Yeah, the thing that drives me crazy about this, too, and I got to dig into this more, that there was some federal rule that the government employees couldn't take another job during a shutdown, and that one bothers me. I think we should have some bipartisan ticked off about that, because if somebody can't get a paycheck and they're going to go out and hustle, make some other money, you can't stop them from doing that. That's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I mean, people got to, got bills to pay, families to take care of. I think we should amend that one. Anthony, I appreciate the call. I'm sorry we got to wrap up here. The hard break is coming up in the Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Y'all have a great one. We'll be back tomorrow at 6, bright and early, for Mobile Mornings. Remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. Also on Facebook. Love to hear from you over there.